So, Jeff, you're on house arrest right now.
I'm on house arrest.
Because of your indecent exposure at your birthday party recently at Chili's.
Yeah, at Chili's, where I always celebrate my birthday every year.
You went to Chili's and you got the fajitas. You got the trio, which we all know how you get fired up when you get shrimp in you.
You know how these things go, right?
You had a couple of those Miller Lights, a couple Coors Lights, a couple fucking woo, and then you're on the table.
You go Coors Banquet, and next thing you know, I'm on house arrest.
But Jeff, how you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Pat. How about yourself?
I was literally screaming at the top of my lungs a couple minutes before we started.
And what were you screaming?
What was it? Please fucking work. Fucking work when I tell you to work. Please fucking work. I was talking to my computers here. Jeff, I don't know if you know this, but I speak to inanimate objects on a regular basis.
You know what? You're not alone in this one, Pat. I speak to inanimate objects all the time. They're usually human beings, but they're also inanimate objects.
They have the intelligence of an inanimate object, but they are not necessarily.
That's right.
I can only imagine. I want to get you one of those head cameras, like the Zoom ones, like that. It's like your
pure. Sure.
Like, I mean, usually, sorry for the visual, but they usually use it for porn. But I wanted to get one of those.
What do you think I use mine for?
Exactly. Okay, good. So you have one. Maybe right. A lamp also for lighting. But I want to get, like, I literally want your POV one day of your instruction and the faces that you see when you look out. Because I know what my face looks like sometimes. Because I think about it sometimes. I'm like, don't look stupid. Don't look stupid. Don't look.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. Yeah,
my favorite one, Pat, is when I look up. My favorite one is when I look up at people, and there's always one or two that are like looking somewhere else, and I just stare at them until they look at me. And they're like, "Oh shit!"
1, 2, 3. Slapping from the face. Hell yeah, yeah! I want that. Yeah. I want that for B-roll for the show one time.
We'll do it. Well, I'll break out my porn camera and we'll make it happen.
Yeah. Your porn camera. It's just a camcorder that's Velcroed to your head. Just a
right.
Big, you put a big VHS tape in.
One of the like shoulder mounted ones.
Yeah. Did I punch the tabs out? I can't. Can you look? Can somebody look? So yeah, technology is not our friend.
No, technology is not our friend. We are on house arrest this week, guys. So, you know, we're trying to get an episode out here before I take off for the weekend. I'm heading out to the great state of Washington.
God damn it. Washington, D.C.
No.
Wait, what?
No, yep. On the other Washington, the one that's on the other side of the country, 3,000 miles away.
The MXPX one, right?
Right.
Got it.
Maximum Plaid.
I know what you're talking about now. Okay.
Yeah. Look, after our last episode, I'm feeling a lot better about like everything, and I thought it was a great and successful therapy session for me. So thanks and big ups to everybody listening to the episode.
Absolutely.
I feel great about it. So today we're going to talk about something that's a little bit weird and maybe like culturally different depending on what gym you're in.
Okay.
But I've noticed that we've over the years, of course, we always have students that drop in from other gyms. Either they trained at some place else in another state and they've moved here, or they've left their gym in the area and are looking for a new place to train. And every now and again, I'll get some weird behaviors, like not tying their belt in front of me, or not asking me if I'm available for a role. And I say, you can just ask me, the role. And then later on, I'll ask them like, what's going on with this? You know, whatever you do. Like one of the weird ones is not tying your belt in front of me is a strange one. And get this, Pat, there are gyms with instructors that insist that students are not allowed to tie their belt in front of their instructor.
That's a okay. What,
right.
what is that a thing that like I've never heard of not tying your belt in front of your instructor. I've heard of right ways and wrong ways of tying your belt. I've heard of different techniques to tie
your belt sure.
easily, but I haven't heard
yeah.
anything oh, yeah. like you're yeah. not allowed. You don't like it's like you don't want to see me tie your belt, or it's like you're not worthy. What is that a rule? That's a real rule.
Well, so beats the shit out of me, man. So here's the weird thing about this, like these things and the culture that I grew up in jujitsu, while albeit I will fully admit is or was a lot more was a lot rougher than it is today. Like we're a lot more I think generally speaking, we're more friendly, let's say, than jujitsu was in, you know, 15, 16 years ago. But there was like a portion of this that was like not necessary. Like you gave respect and you got respect regardless of what rank you were. You know, you were a paying member of an academy, you had a professor or you had a teacher or an instructor or whatever, and you paid you did the normal manners things, right? Like you didn't talk when they were talking. You when they taught you a position or a lesson, you followed the lesson, you know, those types of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I was never in a situation where I wasn't allowed to tie my belt in front of an instructor or ask them for a match.
Right.
It's yeah. never happened. Maybe that's a failing on my part where I don't understand the traditions of jiu-jitsu, where it comes from. But actually, it just sounds like if you're like, don't tie your belt in front of me, you're just an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, well, I mean, because to me, so this is my thing. Like, I mean, like it's kind of a thing of like, why? Like, if you've heard that, that's one thing, but like, I would go, so if it was me, and this is my thing, because of the fact that you're either, whether you refer to yourself as instructor, professor, anything like that, like you're a teacher,
right.
like we
right.
talked about in the last episode, you're a teacher.
Right.
So like, why wouldn't I go to you to say, at least to say, hey, Professor Beck, Mr. Jeff. Would you, am I allowed to tie my belt in front of you? Like, cause you're the one that would tell me that, you know what I'm saying? Like you're the teacher. So like, if you were okay, like,
so,
of course not, or you'd say, yeah, we don't really do that here. Because I remember asking early on to you, do we do that thing with the promotions where everybody slaps the shit out of your back with the belt?
Oh, right.
So
sure, like, of course
there
of
are course. Misnomers for sure. There's tradition. There's, you know, testosterone and then there's just I feel like preference, you know what I mean? Like
sure, right. I mean now to be fair, there's no like there's no overriding guiding principles that everyone is when they're running a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym, and usually a lot of this stuff is just tradition that gets passed down from, you know, one generation to the next. So I mean for things like the gauntlet that you're in reference to for belt promotions, that's just the way that gym does belt promotions. It's not the way that we do belt promotions. I'm not a huge fan of it. Mm-hmm. But if that's how your academy does it, then that's how your academy does it. But weird stuff like not being able to tie your belt in front of your instructor seems a little ludicrous. And I don't know where that came from. I don't know if that's a legitimate tradition somewhere in Japan or in Brazil. I don't think it is. Your belt falls off all the time.
Yeah.
Just put your belt back on.
Yeah. Like, do you have to go to the, like, I can see turning your back maybe, but
no, I mean, that's just it. Like, you don't need to turn your back to me. Like, don't, yeah. you don't need to turn your back to me when you tie your belt. That's ridiculous. But I will say this. I mean, we are like, if you, when we line up at the end of class in the evening classes, when we line up and we bow in and bow out, we ask our students to put their belt on, get their gi together, put their belt on, show respect, you know, to the instructor and to your classmates. You get yourself together. That's fine. Yeah. Right. But everybody, you don't have to turn your back to me to tie your belt. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's
it's really the dumbest cool. thing ever. But what this does is it brings up one of these like really, really interesting questions, which is our main topic for today is should lower belts be allowed to roll with upper belts? Are really? You, yeah. if you are a white or a blue belt, are you allowed to roll with purple, brown, and black belts? Maybe more importantly, are you allowed to ask them for a match and a role? And there's definitely you're laughing.
I'm sorry. I'm just like, because
you didn't grow up in this.
Yeah.
But you didn't, so you didn't alien grow up in that environment. So there are definitely, these are things I have heard of. There are definitely gyms in which you do not ask black belts to roll, right? The black belt asks you to roll. Uh-huh. And like, I can understand that. Like, I can understand why that rule was set, right? And it usually it's because for black belts, like, everybody wants to roll with them, right? If you have a good black belt on your mat, you want to spend time with them, and you'll get one five whatever that are always bogarting the black belt's time, right? They're like, I want to roll, and you don't get a chance to roll with all of your students all the time, right? And so it becomes the black belt's preference to choose which students they're going to roll with for the day. And it could be for a variety of reasons. It could be because they haven't rolled with this student in a while and they want to see how they're progressing. It could be that you're an asshole and they don't want to roll with you. It could be a variety of reasons, right? And also there's like different sects of students that are in each gym. And sometimes you have the guys that are just want to prove their mettle, right? They want to go after that black belt and show them that they're doing really well and how they're progressing, and they want to be real aggressive. And maybe you're just not in the mood for that, right?
Maybe you're
like, hey man, I'm not. And so you reserve the right to decide who you roll with and who you don't. So I don't necessarily disagree with that mindset.
Yeah.
However, I think it's important for instructors to roll with all of their students, white belt through black belt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I mean, it's the way that I carry myself.
I think there's also, so like, it's funny that this is the topic for today, because just this morning, Jeff, I literally approached you and was like, hey, Jeff, can you mind rolling with me first? And not only that, but can I say where we start? And you were like, yeah.
Right.
Mainly because we were working on a couple of guard breaks, and I am usually my normal partner, unfortunately, doesn't have the longest legs, and I also have quite the robust midsection. So he can't always close his guard or keep his guard closed on me. It's no fault to his jiu-jitsu whatsoever. But by the way, also,
sure.
This is the part that I'm laughing about, I think, mostly when you're explaining this, was my partner is a purple belt. Like, I'm already partnered with an upper belt, which, you know, I appreciate because of the more challenging roles. I feel like has made me a better blue belt. So to say that there would be any kind of rule where you're not allowed to, aside from what you're saying with the black belt rule, mainly because you observe everyone's role. You walk around and you see everyone when they're drilling. You see everybody when they're doing positional sparring.
Sure.
And you see all that. So you are under the, you have, and not only that, but you instruct and you have rolled with some of these people. So you know people's like mentalities and how they're willing to go, or what do they work on, or what do they need work on and stuff like that. And you want to get, again, more insight in, is your instruction actually working? That's something that you brought up on the last episode.
Right.
You'll get reassurance by those roles. So I think, I think it being the black belt's choice is the one thing that I, of any of the things that we brought up as far as restrictions, I could totally see. And I do support, because you know more than everyone here. So
I think the way to look at it is this, is that if you're the instructor of the class, you reserve the right to either accept a match or refuse a match without there being an offense, right? Like, yeah. I'm not, if I say no, thank you, it's not because I don't want to roll with you. It's probably because I have other students that I haven't rolled with in a while that I want to go see, and I want to spend some time with them, right? Because don't get me wrong, there are plenty, and there always will be. There's like the instructor mystique, right? Like, that's the instructor. You don't mess with him. And there's plenty of guys that are like, we don't ask to roll with him. If he wants to roll with me, he'll say so.
Yeah.
But then there's the other guys that are like, I want to match with you every time I have class. And like I said, you only have so many minutes to roll.
Right.
And if you end up rolling with the same people over and over and over again, then you don't get a chance to go and see your other students.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I admire the go-getters, the ones that are like, no, I want that time with you. You have that opportunity, and you take advantage of it. So I think it's better for the black belt to be able to reserve the right to say no, but I don't want to ever be in a position where you feel like you can't ask me to roll.
Right. Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
Weird. Yeah. That's something where, especially, I mean, because if you think about it, you're somebody who you're an instructor, and I'm sure many instructors out there offer private lessons at usually a different, you know, an extent, what is it? Like at a cost,
It costs extra, you know, it's usually on an hourly rate.
Right.
I bring my porn cam. and
you put it on just so you can see what your face looks like.
Yeah, yeah. You sign a waiver, and then we'll do the private.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You get one of Jeff's. So, but there's a if you're somebody that's like every class saying like, oh, I want to roll with you. I want to roll with you. Getting a roll with a black belt, especially Jeff Beck. If I may,
you may,
my friend, is like getting a 5-minute private lesson. Like you're getting a free little lesson just for you about something that you're specifically shitty at.
Yeah,
that you're gonna get better at, and like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I did the same thing, guys. Like when I have a professor too, and you know, I had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with him in private lessons and in matches. And that was what I was doing is I wanted him to, you know, decimate me and then explain to me what I'm doing wrong,
right.
You know, and fix my game. And he did.
Yeah. You're going to get better that way with those high. And that's why I feel like, so this is also a very relatable topic on my personal end, because I was just lamenting to a mutual friend of ours, the purple belt I was speaking of earlier. I was telling him one of the day, I think it was earlier this week. It might've been Monday. That he wasn't at class, and I was, because you know I didn't give up, and right. I was there, and there was a I believe a somewhat newer or newish student, a white belt, and his I believe his lady friend, who was also a white belt, were both came to 6 a.m. and we ended up gearing up for drills, and I mean he is like
right.
I'm pretty sure he is brand new. So, and that's no, I was judging myself because I kind of felt like him being so new and me being so unsure of myself, you know what I mean? Like the imposter syndrome and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, but there's those certain things that I do confident sometimes telling somebody, and I'll start to tell them something, and then I always try to say, talk to Jeff, because like ultimately that's the thing.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Rolling with, I totally understand, but teaching and stuff like that, I feel like I see a lot of times maybe a two-stripe blue belt teaching, you know, a four-stripe white belt something, and it's like, make sure you give the disclaimer that, you know, to double check the work with Jeff, because because that's, if you know, for me at least, when I'm taught something, I'm like, yeah, that's the way I'm supposed to do it. If I don't do it that way, I'm not doing it right.
No, I think that's great. I mean, it's the right thing to say. I mean, in those circumstances, and you're absolutely right, your instructor, if he's worth anything or she's worth anything as an instructor, has been taught how to be an instructor.
Right. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not just there because I've done jiu-jitsu for a long time. And I've been taught how to teach.
For a shorter long time, you've also had a lot of experience teaching too, and you've made that your method.
Correct.
Like your
at method. This point, right?
Yeah.
Right. 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 At this point, I also have the experience behind me of being an instructor for years, mm-hmm. And also a competitor, and also like a lot of other things that maybe you as a fresh blue belt or you know a four stripe white belt have not had. And while I totally admire all of you guys that are excited to share your knowledge and wanting to do this, especially with brand new people, and give them show them the ropes. And don't get me wrong, there are plenty of things that you can show them. Like for instance, don't tie your belt in front of your instructor.
Yeah, that's weird.
Turn your back.
Yeah.
No, doing things like, you know, like how to tap, right? Like what the positions look like, what they are. You know, there are all kinds of things that you guys like, wear your shoes in the bathroom, but don't wear your shoes on the mat. Like there's lots of things that we take for granted that people who have been with, you know, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym for, you know, 6 months to a year, whatever, there's lots of things that you can teach them, mm-hmm. And should. But when it comes to instruction, like when I'm teaching you guys how to do stuff, you're right. Default to your instructor. Right. Yeah. And there's also there's bound to be somebody else too on the mat. That's a brown belt or a high level purple belt that can answer these questions if your instructor is not available, and go and lean on them. Okay. Cause they're people that are, and I guarantee you almost every purple belt, almost every brown belt will say, here's how you do this move, but check with Jeff. So yeah. Much the same way that you're doing right now, Pat. Like, yeah. But check with him or check with your instructor and just to make sure that I'm not fucking this up.
This is how I put it too, is I always go, this is how I do it, but this you should check with Jeff. Because I always say, like, I always try to say, like, this is literally, I'm not telling you anything that I don't personally do. So like, I'm not, if I'm giving right. you bad advice, please let me know because I need to change. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, it avoids too the like the situation where you're in a position where you have to answer a question that you don't know the answer to, and you feel the pressure, and you don't want to look like an asshole, so you make something up. Right? You're like, well, you know, this is what I would do, and you're not sure. And next thing you know, you're everybody's going off the rails, and yeah. all you had to do was just be like, Hey, coach, I need help with this. That's right. all you had to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think
so.
I think there's like, and it's funny because just one more point. Cause you brought up the fact that
go ahead.
You're taught to instruct. One of the things that I knew that I wasn't doing a good job with helping the younger white belt was the fact that, I felt like I was overwhelming him with things. I was like, you got to do this. You got to have posture. And also, this is really important. Yeah. because I didn't want to leave the important things out. Like, but
right.
Oh, but like as kind of a little humble brag, I feel like that just means I do know a lot of things that you need to do, but I just don't know how to convey them to people because I'm sitting here going, you got to do this. You got to keep your arms straight. Don't put your arms here though. But if you have your arms flat, that's really bad too. Don't you want to go for the head, but don't just go for the head. You got to go legs, hips, shoulders, head. Right. Then you got, and that, not this, I mean, like in that order, but like, I mean, sometimes you can do two at once, but don't worry about that now. Just break my guard.
Right.
And then he's just like, you know, I think I saw the look and I was just like, oh no, I think I fried his brain.
And there you go. And that is exactly where the line is drawn between instructing, like an instructor and how they teach a class and being somebody that one of the things that as a four-stripe blue belt, who's on his way to his purple belt, you do have a lot of knowledge and you have a lot of things to give. And you don't want to miss anything. And you don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, I forgot to tell him to do X, Y, and Z, which is detrimental to this entire position. Yeah, like right?
It doesn't even work if he doesn't know that. Okay. God damn it.
Right. But that's okay. You know, because that's those are the things, like we only have a certain amount of time structured in a class for a specific amount of instruction. Right. And I can't solve all the problems and all the counters to the counters and all the what ifs in, you know, 20 minutes. It's not going to happen. What we're going to do is we're going to focus on this specific technique and these specific things. And then we're going to move on to the next thing, which has the same fundamentals as the last one. It just has like a variation on the technique. And we're going to do this over and over and over again for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Right. And all the pieces start to come together and then you understand that. Right. Yeah. But it's impossible to be able to like instruct someone who's brand new, who doesn't even know the difference between a closed guard and a half guard.
Yeah.
All the different positions and all the things they got to worry about, because to be honest with you, at that rank, you have to worry about everything.
Yeah. Like that's what right? I'm saying. Everything. Like, I'm trying to say like, here's all the things that you need to know to survive, but also like,
right.
Like I know I'm missing some things and I know you're going to forget a lot of this. And really I know it's not clicking yet because you haven't experienced a lot of these things. And like somebody can warn you about pressure or, you know, any of this passing.
Break. Yeah.
If you have one of those things you feel really comfortable in, you know, instruct it. If you don't, you know, say what you know and point to Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the best thing to do is shut the fuck up and call for your professor to come over and help you out. You know what I mean? Yeah. And remember, and to your point earlier, is all these things are being thrown at a brand new person who just started jiu-jitsu. And don't forget that 10 minutes before that, they learned how to tie their belt for the first time. You know what I mean?
They did it by themselves like, in the bathroom with their shoes off.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's it. And you're not allowed on my mat then. Yes. So yeah, no, it's totally true. Like that's like, it can be a very overwhelming and then feel like no matter what you do, you're going to fuck up. And it's true because no matter what you do, you're going to fuck up. And it's going to be like that for a long time, right? Until until you start to realize that like the failure end of things is part of the learning process, right? That's the best way to get better at it, is to continuously fail at it.
Yeah.
But all that to be said is that, and sort of in conclusion with this topic today, is like, should lower belts roll with higher belts, and should they engage with them? Yeah, we're all part of the same. We're kind of all on the same journey, guys.
Yeah,
this is my opinion, and this is how we operate. So, I mean, if this is not what you're getting from your professor, quit your fucking gym and come sign up at Harrisburg Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Judo East.
Yeah.
Okay. It's off Union Deposit Road in Harrisburg.
Yeah. Also, if they do happen to, if you also get slapped in your fucking ass or your back with a ton of belts because you wanted to get promoted, you can also just quit that gym and head on over to Harrisburg Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Judo East and sign up over there on Union Deposit Road in Harrisburg. Because
that's right.
A great kebab place right nearby, as well as a Waffle House if you are trash.
It's got a fucking Waffle House, guys. I don't know what else you want. We're all on the same journey together. It's just that we're at different points on that journey, right? Mm-hmm. I've been doing it longer, and I know more than you do. That's the end of that story. I don't know everything. I just know generally more than what you know, but we're all on the same journey. We're still all learning jiu-jitsu and we're doing it together. So should a lower belt roll with higher belts? Should they engage with higher belts? Yeah, absolutely. Because they hold, as to your point earlier, Pat, they hold a tremendous amount of knowledge that you don't possess yet. Well, anyway, hey, Pat, what's happening in the world of jiu-jitsu today? In the world of jiu-jitsu, we've got a bunch of great stuff that's coming up. And if you, again, and I know that, like, you know, Flow Grappling does not sponsor this podcast. In fact, nobody fucking sponsors this podcast. So this is just coming from my personal advice. If you have the extra funds, get a Flow Grappling membership, all right? Because there's tons of jiu-jitsu available. All the main events, all the major fights are on there for your viewing pleasure. So, and if not, then just wait until the match is over and all the highlights and like some of the other matches will be on YouTube for you to consume. But we got a lot of great stuff that's coming up here at the end of September, which we are there now, and beginning of October. We do have the Nogi Pans is coming up here on, I think it's September 29th, if I'm not mistaken. So September 29th, Nogi Pans, I think it's taking place in Fort Worth, Texas. So it should be a good time, a lot of good matches there. And following that,
September 29th through October 1st, and it's 2023 in Fort Worth, Texas.
So that'll be, you'll really want to check that out. On October 1st, guys, we have the Tezos Who's Number 120 Night of Champions, and that is going to feature he who will not be named.
That one guy.
But yeah, that one guy by the name of Gordon Ryan will be fighting again. Right. Trying to make up for a lost time here since he's been out of the game for a while. So he will be fighting. That'll be happening at the beginning of October, October 1.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spoil too much stuff, but we do have the ADCC East Coast Trials coming up on October 14th. That's happening actually not too far from us. That's happening in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Oh, maybe. You know what? That would be a lot of fun to go to. I might go to
that. It would be a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we'll try to plan a 6 a.m. class field trip or something like that. Maybe. Or you know what? Podcast field trip.
Yeah, we might be able to do it. It's like a day before my daughter's birthday, so we'll see, though. We'll see if it'll happen. Perfect, but if it does happen, that'd be
great. It's a perfect gift for any daughter. What?
Hey, speaking of perfect gifts, and I don't mean to digress, do you guys see my hat?
Yeah.
Shout out to Ricky, who got me this hat for my birthday, all right? Yeah. It's Curb City. No rules, all curbs, baby.
Your favorite thing is curbs. You love curbs.
I am a curb-crushing motherfucker.
The Team 10th Planet versus the B-Team Bulls. Quintet 4 is available on YouTube right now. So it is a full match. And I do highly suggest that. I mean, they do it right. It is such a well-produced event. A lot of jiu-jitsu really is. It's really cool and it's really dramatic and it's really reminiscent of the martial arts tournaments I've seen from movies and stuff where they just have a ring in the middle and it's all dark all the way around it and there's no edge to it. And it's just so fucking cool, dude. I cannot speak to the artistry of the quintet competition and just that overall. I don't know what that style of ring is or anything like that, but it turns it into the spectacle that I personally think jiu-jitsu deserves. And it's like it's classy, but it's just so fucking cool. If they were to make a league, I would like it to be like that, or grappling in a cage like they do for the Chael Sonnen's Grappling Underground.
Right.
Whatever that is.
You're not alone. You're not alone in this. I've heard so much great feedback from our students and my friends that about how much they really enjoyed the quintet, rule set, the way that they've done this. So if you guys haven't had a chance to check it out, hop on YouTube. It's on there to check out. If not, then get a Flow Grappling subscription, go check out all that stuff's available, and you can waste hours away. Look, you're either going to watch stupid shit on TikTok or you're going to go watch some jiu-jitsu on Flow Grappling, or do YouTube both. go Why not do both?
Quit your job and do both.
Quit your fucking job and do both.
Yeah.
What has your job ever done for you is what I'm asking.
What are you, some kind of dork? Quit working and live those Daisy Fresh boys. Go live in a laundromat or a van.
Live in a laundromat until you become popular enough to buy your own place.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, it's a true success story done through grappling and also a lot of marketing and also YouTube. But
miracles happen every day, Pat.
No, there's no such thing as an overnight success. The only thing that luck is, Jeff, is when opportunity meets hard work.
And that's one to grow on.
I just said different sayings.
Did you know what that leads us to?
Well, I'm not even sure what it leads us to. I've never even seen this show.
My second favorite topic of the 6 a.m. podcast.
What's that?
And that is Ask a Black Belt.
I got it. You ready for this one? This is a good
one. I'm ready.
This is from regular contributor, and I'm very grateful for it. Casey Nicholson has offered a question, and it's not really, I guess it's a question, but she does ask nicely. So, stories about getting rolled by a girl on the mat, please.
Oh, you want a story about me getting rolled up by a girl on the mat?
She did say stories, but we'll get one, at least one.
I'll give you one. I'll give you because it's one of my favorite ones ever. It's a great one. Okay. Now, first of all, I will preface this by saying that I get rolled up by girls all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a very common thing, Casey.
We have a.
I'm saying it's in general. It's not as uncommon as you think.
Look, in my class, whether you're a male or female, you are one of my jiu-jitsu students, right? That's it. And I expect the same things, the same, levels of performance and attention as everybody else. And as a result, we have a very robust group of women who grapple, with us in the mornings, especially, and in the evenings, I will also mention. And they're animals. They're animals.
Yeah.
And they're very, very good jiu-jitsu. But my favorite story of me getting rolled up by a female is that years ago, unfortunately she no longer trains with us, but I did see her recently. We had a young lady by the name of Fiona who I knew from the time that she was a teenager, and I was a grown-ass man at this point, and now she's a full-fledged adult. We clapped hands one day for a match, and it took her all of 10 seconds. I don't even want to say it was 10 seconds. I want to say it was probably in the realm of 3 to 5 seconds before she got me in arguably the nastiest guillotine I have ever been in my entire life. And from that day until now, and she tapped me so quick that I was like, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed by my lackadaisical attitude. Yeah. My like, oh, don't worry, little girl, I'll be nice to you. And she beat the shit out of me. And I will tell you something else, is that she recently came back for a visit here. Again, she's an adult at this point, but she came back for a visit here in the last 6 months. And she is so dangerous. I mean, again, it was just one of those things where, like, it's like there's levels to this stuff, guys. Like, there's levels to jiu-jitsu. And even as me as a black belt, I run into other people who are arguably at different levels of jiu-jitsu. And she is still that freaking dangerous. Thankfully, I took her seriously this time.
Yeah.
And every time after I've ever rolled with her, it was by far the best guillotine choke I've ever seen. It was wicked. It was wicked. It was no mercy.
Yeah. There's something about that. Like, they're like, I feel like a lot of times people go like, oh, I think they underestimated their opponent and blah, blah, blah. I don't get it. They still got beat. Like, that's part of it. Like, that's mental, you know, how they say 90% is mental or whatever the percentage is, but it's one of those things that, that's gotta be, cause that's what I was thinking. It's like, you're not embarrassed because, oh, I got rolled up by a little, like, you're embarrassed cause you underestimated your opponent. You let your guard down. You, not only that, but it was also like, you're like, it's like, damn, I really fucked. Like, I lost. Like, it's like, it felt like, I'm sure, like a loss. Like, damn, really? Wow.
It was, I, you know, my biggest embarrassment of that, from that story, is that I 100%, forgot that jiu-jitsu works
on all, like, all the time, the whole time.
Yeah, for everybody. Like, if you know it, like, it works. And the worst thing that I did was disrespect the art of jiu-jitsu by saying, well, here's a teenage girl and, you know, it can't be that bad. And she showed me what time it was. And so I learned a very valuable lesson. I think I was still a white belt at the time, or a blue belt, but just in that range or whatever. But she taught me a very valuable lesson.
Now,
so shout out to Fiona, wherever you're at. Come back and see me.
This next question actually kind of ties in well with that other question, Jeff. This is from Jack.
I'm not answering any questions from Jack.
Okay, but all right. Well, then if I may, then hypothetically, this is from Crack.
Okay, so Crack asks what?
Yeah, Crack's asking, well, I'm thinking of a scenario, right? This is how it's connected. What if your girlfriend found out how much you disrespected or did not respect the art of jiu-jitsu and the fact that it works on everybody? And Crack asks, how do you get through a girl leaving you for her ex? I don't know, maybe Coach will have some wise words, but it's a bitch to get through, man.
Wow. Yeah. That's a tough one, man. Okay, so
I don't know why he's asking. I have no idea why this would be a question. It just seems like it's out of the blue.
It's,
you know,
it's a hypothetical.
Right.
It's a hypothetical question.
Hypothetically, Jeff.
How do you get over your woman leaving you for her ex?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a tough one, Jack. And I'm going to tell you because everybody's been there. All right. Well, most everybody's been there.
I haven't.
I haven't personally.
I'm just kidding. I totally have. Literally.
So am I.
I just think one of those things, I'm like, no, not me. Sorry, actually. Every relationship's been great and all mutual breakups.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm the one that leaves them because I'm bored.
Every time.
No, it is fair to say that, like, what really burns your ass is that she left you.
Yeah.
And the ex is not anything to worry about. The ex is just because it's a comfortable space to go to, right? Like, she left and then she wanted out of the relationship and she went back to her ex because she has insecurities about being alone. And instead of just going out onto her own, she went back to her ex. Okay. Or maybe there's something else at play. Maybe there was a mistake in them ever breaking up to begin with, but I doubt it. Yeah. It's more likely that she just didn't want to be alone and she didn't want to be in a relationship with you anymore. And she left, right? And she didn't know how to do this, you know, in a more mature fashion, let's say. But what this does provide you, Jack, is an opportunity for you to get back out there on your own as you, okay? Because I can tell you right now, you don't need that shit. Right. You don't need it.
Right.
You don't need it. I'm going to tell you another story, Jack, and I'm going to put it like this, and maybe this will help assuage some of your concerns. And that is, at the time,
Crack. His name's Crack. Remember?
Crack. Right. Crack. Exactly. Right. Because, right. I don't answer questions for Jack.
Yeah.
But here's another one for you, Bob. And I'll tell you this. This is a personal story of mine. And that is, at the time that I met the love of my life, I had sworn off women completely. Okay. I was like, I'm not interested in dating. I'm not interested in seeing, I don't want to be in a relationship. Uh-oh. I just want to spend some time by myself. And I made a list, a criteria that would be completely impossible for any, cause I was being a dick, right? Like no woman could ever touch this, right? This list, my criteria. And like a week later, I met my wife and everything changed. Okay. So hang in there. It'll be all right. I promise.
Make a list.
It doesn't seem like it right now, but trust me, everything worked out exactly the way it should have.
Yeah. That is never, that's that advice that nobody ever necessarily realizes is great advice until they're until they're giving it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like one of those things that, like, every time somebody told me that when I was dealing with a breakup, I was like, no, this is the most important thing. And I was, I mean, like, legitimately from 18 to like probably like until I met Dom, do you know what I'm saying? Like, legitimately, it was kind of one of those things that you want to say, like, once you stop looking, you'll find it kind of thing. But like, legitimately, if you're not looking, you're still occupying your time in a constructive way, that means you're probably bettering yourself, or you're becoming more 100%. Self-reflective or something like that. Yep. So just take this opportunity to better yourself.
Yeah. You're being yourself. Yeah. And when you're being yourself, you're open to people seeing you for who you really are. And so the type of people that you attract are ones that are actually and genuinely interested in who you are. Right. If you're so busy trying to conform to being a boyfriend or a husband because of XYZ criteria, you have to look a certain way, act a certain way, blah, 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 blah. No, your relationships, if they're good, guys, your relationships should make you more of yourself, should expand yourself, not narrow your perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. That's incredible. Like, I know this is an ask a blue belt and a black belt, but
you've got some experience on this one.
This is a thing that I don't have to send you to Jeff for. I know. Sit down, kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been in school. I got dared to go out with somebody when my biggest crush they were dared to go out with me, and Jesus Christ, that hurt. But at this point, I don't even remember who the fuck, I don't remember her name.
Right, exactly. One
of the things, like, where at that point, it was the biggest thing in the world, and I couldn't believe how I'll never love again. Like, how could anyone betray me? And it's just like, that was middle school, dude, like, or high school.
Right.
Whatever the fuck, I don't even remember.
Who remembers? Right. You don't even remember. Great questions today, guys. Mm-hmm. Great questions. And you know what that means. It's time for me to find out what's on your turntable.
For some reason, I had the urge, and usually when I say what's been on my turntable, I know you have a physical turntable, but usually
I do. It's sitting right next to me.
Yeah, we may get it. We have gotten a sneak peek at it before, but for some reason I usually mean when on my turntable, my earphones, or my car stereo, whatever.
Right, so, whatever you're listening to, right?
On the way home from work today, I had the weirdest fucking urge, and I embraced it, and I listened to probably the two songs that I like by them. Do you know the band Static X?
I do. You do know the band Static X. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, their debut album, I believe, was called Wisconsin Death Trip, which is also one of the songs, and also Push It. Both of those, not Salt and Peppers, but Push It by Static X, and as well as Wisconsin Death Trip. They were so enticing to me when I was a kid. They were like,
okay,
this new thing that I had never heard somebody, and they had weird hair, and they had like this weird imagery. And it really, at the time, was truly, it was the new metal era, which was NU.
It was,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A very industrial type yeah. sound.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. yeah, exactly. But like I said, Static X, man, it gets me fucking pumped, dude. I love that song.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think I'm going to add it to my playlist, which I have mentioned on the podcast before. It is public on Spotify and it is titled Payest, PAYIST, because Jeff, on my playlist,
because
there are no L's.
Perfect.
Perfect. What about you, Jeff? What's been on your roll turn? God.
Listen, I'm so stoked. I have so many. Okay. Here's what happened. All right. So last Saturday, uh-huh. two Saturdays ago, can't remember. It was one of those Saturdays. It was recent Saturday. Coming back from the gym, giving a private, and I'm listening to Pandora because I'm just letting it spin. It, you know how like sometimes Pandora does the right thing and it yeah. has like a great, it'll just like every song is exactly where it should yeah. be. It's like a great yeah. compilation. Doesn't always work,
no.
but when it does, it's beautiful. Yeah. Okay. All of a sudden a song popped on and I'm like, I know this band, but I don't know this song. And it turns out one of my favorite bands of all time, Paint It Black, is coming out with a new record. It was a new song. They really? Have a single out. Yeah. It's called Famine. The record's coming out on November 3rd. Guys, listen, I've talked about this band before the podcast. They're a band out of Philadelphia. If you know Dan Yeaman at all, like you would know like all of his other projects that he's worked on. New record, Paint It Black, is coming out on November 3rd. It one of the most important bands of any generation, but our generation in particular, is Paint It Black. The dude, listen to the song, okay? Listen to the song Famine. That dude is 55 years old, and he fucking screams like a, like, I don't know, like an 18-year-old.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That means that probably they're going to be going on a tour to support this album, Jeff. We got to go see them live.
I tried. So they're playing. So one of the places that I grew up watching shows in Philadelphia, they're playing that, but it's sold out. So
because they're from Philly, of course.
Yeah, because they're from Philly, right? So they are going on tour, and they are so. But also, it just as a bonus note for you guys, Dan, who fronts Paint It Black, who started Paint It Black. He also has another band called Open City. And if you guys, and he plays guitar in that band and they have a female lead singer. So if you guys like hardcore punk rock, listen to Open City. It's another great band. So I've just been like completely enveloped in great music over the last couple of weeks, guys. So, you know, that's what's on my turntable right now. I cannot stop listening to Paint It Black. I cannot stop listening to that single. And I cannot stop listening to it and recognizing that, you know what, this dude's 55. That gives me hope that I'll be kicking that much ass when I'm 55.
Dude, I have to ask you, for as far as Pandora, because I've used Spotify in the past, or like recently, as of the recent past.
Right.
But right. I'm back to Pandora because I don't like Spotify's radio stations, and the radio stations being you give them an artist or two and they kind of say, right. How about this? And that's something that I think Pandora really has a good a system with.
They do. Pretty good.
How do you do it? Do you have certain stations where you just give them one artist, or do you have do you reach the maximum of like five or six that you're allowed to give them?
No, I just give them one artist. So like, and then all the bands that are related to that. And sometimes it works really well and sometimes it doesn't. But when it works really well, it's gold.
Yeah. A lot of times I get a lot of crossover. I don't get enough variations. So sometimes I love their random style of it. So that's really cool right. that you were exposed to new music on Pandora, as opposed to where I put in a band that I like. I'm like, I just heard of these guys. And they're like, so you like them. How about Bad Religion? You ever heard of them?
It's like, yeah, right. Sometimes it's like that, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know weird who they thing, are.
Yeah, I've heard of them once or twice. Yeah. But one of the weird things about that was that new song, the one of the things I'll give Pandora a shout out to is that song had dropped just the day before. It had released just the day before, which is why I hadn't heard it. And then I heard it the next morning on Pandora. So anyway, that's what's on my turntable, Chief.
Oh yeah, buddy. Well, so I'm not sure how much longer our house arrest sentence is going to be for,
But it could be for a bit.
You're going to have a long weekend in old Washington, our nation's capital. Yep. And be, oh, wait, the other one.
the other one. Going to Seattle.
Yeah, you're going to be in Seattle. Pick me up some salmon and some coffee and try not to get stabbed with a hypodermic needle, would you?
I'll make no promises, but I'll do my best. Until next time, you maniacs.